Welcome back to the Hostel Road Trip Podcast. We are with Diego at the Sin City Hostel in Las Vegas. Very excited to be here. A lot to hear about. Exciting things happening at the Sin City. Big changes. Want to hear about what's going on in Vegas. Want to hear about your journey. And let's get into it. So I always just love to hear how managers and owners got into this position they're in. What was your journey that and path that led you to hosteling and your experience that, you know, made you want to do this as a job and a career? Yeah. You know, how did that go for you?
I never thought about that in my life. It was just a way to save money to come to Vegas. I never heard about hostels in Brazil. I'm from Brazil.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was electro engineer in Brazil for 10 years. I was assembling robots and machines. And after 10 years, I got tired. I decided to quit my job there and I started a new life here in Vegas. So I applied in the Worldpackers to be a volunteer here for 2 months to save money, to rent a place, to find a job here. But I liked the hostel, I liked the vibe here. And I asked to the owner if it was possible I stayed longer here. And he said, yeah, for sure. So when I arrived here, I started cleaning, helping them as a volunteer. And after 2 months, they said, okay, we're going to stay longer. So we're going to teach you how works in reception. You're going to start working reception. So I start to learn this stuff. I work in reception for 1 year, 1.5 years. And since January, I manage the place now.
Wow. That's, you know, that's super cool that like a lot of times within this industry, you do find people that had previous jobs or skill sets or education that you never would have guessed. You know, like electrical engineers, lawyers, and, you know, stock traders, you know, all kinds of different walks of life that can find their path here through a lot of interesting ways. Our previous episode with the House at Hostels, you know, those guys were into real estate and through purchasing a spot, you know, that's how they found out about hostels and ran with it from there. And very quickly, they want a hostel. And it's cool to hear that you had no idea what a hostel was, found yourself into the position of housekeeping, and then over a short period of time, here you are running the spot.
Yeah, and I was not expecting that. I never heard about that, and it's totally different that I studied. For 10 years, I was in factories, in a closed place, and too much pressure. Mm-hmm. And now I manage the place, and I have fun now. I'm enjoying with the guests, new cultures every day. I love it.
And awesome.
Probably going to do this for a long time.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, that's great to hear. How about the story of Sin City? How did do you know the backstory of the hostel there at Sin City? How it got started and a little bit about that?
The owner of the building is the same owner of the business. So she bought this building in 1987. And she rented to a company, and they opened a motel here. After 13 years, they got tired because they were working 24 hours. So they quit here. They left. So the owner thought about, okay, so I'm going to open my own hostel. So in the end of 2002, she closed the building, and she renovate everything here. She put AC in the motel, didn't have AC. And in Vegas, it's so hot, it's crazy. Imagine we talk AC here. So yeah. She put this, she broke the walls. She painted all the building. She put restrooms, she plumbing stuffs, electrical stuffs. And after 1 year, she opened her own hostel. It was called Las Vegas Independent Hostel. Mm-hmm. And her husband was managing for 10 years. And after that, I guess you know Jason. Jason started to manage here. Yeah. Jason managed the spot for 10 years, and he's a good guy. He's a good one. And he was going to convention every year in Europe and here. And he improved many stuff here in the hostel. Like he put the Gawky cloud bed system before it was just in paper. He was trying to automate everything here. And he created the website, everything. They didn't have this before. So the hostel got very, very good reviews about these things. So they worked very well for 10 years. But in the last year, they have some issues. He would like to open a bar here, but the other owner didn't agree with that. So they start to discuss a lot about that. So in the end of the year, he left the hostel, and she said to me, because I was the oldest here, working here, and she invited me if I would like to help her. So I'm helping her until now so far. Yeah.
Nice. That's great. Tell us, we normally like to be in person for these hostel road trip podcast episodes, but since we're not there in person, can you walk us through your hostel a little bit? Like, how many rooms you have? What is the layout like? What is kind of the virtual walkthrough? How would you explain your hostel?
Here we are more a party hostel because we are in Vegas. So here people come to enjoy it, the city, and we help them to get in for free in the parties, the nightclubs. They see most of the famous DJs here in Vegas for free. So when they arrive here in the hostel, they see, oh, there's a guest list for them to enjoy the city. And they make a good reviews about that. They love it, the parties. They come here to enjoy this. We offer pregame for them for free. We have a small common area that we open 8 a.m. and we close 11 p.m. But we have another huge common area in the patio that is 24 hours. They can smoke, they can drink there outside. And we offer barbecue for them on Saturdays. We have pasta night sometimes, free breakfast, free coffee, almond milk, tea the whole day. They can sometimes they ask for extra breakfast, we provide for them. In their rooms they have free towels. They have a locker, they can put their stuff. We have 58 beds. We don't have private rooms, just share rooms.
Oh,
we have two female dorms, and the six other dorms are mixed. One with six beds, others with eight beds.
Interesting. And then there's what, two other hostels in Las Vegas?
Yeah, there's what the three hostels are here in the same block. Bungalows is three doors down here, and there one another one in front of Bungalows. It calls B Postal, and it's inside a hotel. It's like half hotel and half hostel. The difference between us and Bungalows, the price is the same, the rates are the same, but the difference that they accept locals and we just accept travelers. We don't accept Nevada ID here.
Okay.
So everyone here are in the same vibe. Everyone here are here in Vegas just for a few days to enjoy the city, to get crazy, to do crazy stuff, and leave for the next city. When we know they come here to work, we don't accept them. If they are here for more than 14 nights, we don't accept as well. Maximum stay here is 14 nights.
Yeah.
That's great. Keep that traveler vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
How do you compete against all the, Vegas is such an interesting market with all the cheap hotels and casinos, and some places are free, or $1 a night. How do you guys really try to be different and draw in travelers with that kind of competition?
Yeah, it's hard for us because here, I guess, is the city with the most rooms in the United States. And sometimes the hotels here are cheaper than here. But people who knows about hostels, they come here. They know what hostel is. They prefer to stay here. Americans, they don't have this culture, but Europeans, they have it. So they come to Hostel World and they check there the reviews, they compare. Okay, I go to Sin City to enjoy there. I want to make friends. Sometimes we had guests, they book it in Caesar's Palace. They paid $300 a night. They paid for the whole week. And they come here just for two nights to meet people. It's more about the experience than a cheap room for them.
Right.
Yeah,
I think here we have people around the world here every day, different cultures. And in a hotel, you're going to get bored there. And here we give so much tips for them. Enjoy Vegas for free. If they stay in a hotel, they have no idea about it.
Yeah, I always like to make that point that if people are staying at your hostel because it's cheap and the cheapest option, that's the wrong reason. You know, you want people staying at your hostel because of the experience, and that experience you're going to get that's not a hotel. That's when you know you've got a good hostel crowd and a good hostel operation running. Because if it's only for the budget, then it's not running as a hostel because they're not there for that experience. So I think it's so important with that. Now, I did have a question with the operation you're running with, the 58 beds. How many work exchange members do you have on site? Like, what team do you have to help run you in this place?
We have three in reception. Me and two more staff. But the rest, everyone are volunteers. The people help us cleaning with housekeeping. Are two volunteers a day cleaning the rooms. And there's someone help us with social media. They are volunteers as well. And when we need like a guide tour, or like last month we had a magician here. And he was teaching magic lessons for the guests. Like I always put in WordPack's disposition, bring your talent to Sin City Hostel and stay here for free. So every month we have different activities with the guests, depend on the volunteers. But normally we have six volunteers a week. And okay. minimum stay here for the volunteers is 2 weeks, maximum 4 weeks.
Oh,
so they they are traveling. They are the same vibe.
Yeah.
So they enjoy the guests as well. They go to party together. They know the spots here and they bring the guests to there.
Yeah. Such a good point in that model. You know, a lot of people are like, oh my God, they're leaving every 4 weeks and they're only staying 2 weeks. I know from having this debate, if they're only there for 2 weeks, you know, how much did you train them before they leave? And then because they're only staying four, you're always training them. But I like and love your point of keeping the vibe as travelers, because it's not really made for someone to stay long term. So if you try to force it, it's not good for anyone. The person's not going to be happy that's doing the work exchange, because eventually they're going to get burned out and the surroundings around them are going to start to become more of a nuisance than an enjoyment. And they're going to really change the vibe of the operation because they live there. So it's really an interesting model to go with the 2 and the 4 week. But I see why you do it and understand how that can keep things fresh and keep the expectations where they should be. So
yeah, and people try to stay longer. Hey, please make exception for us. I like this hostel.
I don't
know. But after a few days, they start to get used. They start to feel at home and they start to abuse. They start to do stuff. They don't have to do it.
Yeah.
I'm here for a long time. They know me, so I can do whatever I want. But it's not like that.
And then they set the bad example for the new ones coming in and set the tone. Yeah. And it can get real bad, real fast, and then hard to change. So I like your scenario there. And it is an interesting thing of how when they first come to do the exchange, they're very much looking to contribute to the experience and be a part of it. And then as the time goes on, the longer it is, the more that they're not contributing and the more they're taking. And, you know, as you said, abusing that relationship. So that's a wise words and an interesting way to get around that. So good thing there. Do you live on site yourself?
Yeah, I live here in the hostel as well.
Tell us about that a bit more. How are you finding that experience? That's very unique.
Yeah, when I arrived here, I was sharing the volunteers' room, and I never shared nothing in my life.
Oh, wow.
It was totally new for me, but I got used to that. I stay in the same room for 1 year, sharing with messy people, weird people, but I enjoy it. Now in the hostel, there's not so much people, I get bored. I want to see people here. I want to enjoy with them. I want to talk to them every day. So now I have my own room here. But I like to come here downstairs every day and talk to the guests. Even my days off, I go out with them and I show the city to them. I show normally spots they don't see on internet. It's mm-hmm. hidden spots. They have no idea about it. I show free stuff that they can do it that normally they don't know about it. So they save a lot of money staying here with us.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You didn't know what hostels were before you got there. What has hostels taught you in life, or like what have you learned from now getting exposure to the hostel industry and hostels as a business? What did it open your eyes up to?
I've heard many similar stories, like people like me quit the job after 30s, and they don't know what to do with their life. They are traveling for 3 months, 6 months to find themselves. And it's crazy that I know people around the world. And probably if I was in another job, I couldn't find this kind of people. And now I have friends around the world, and they always invite me. If you go to my country, you have free accommodation. Yes, so if right. one day you want to travel for 1 year, I don't have to spend money.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Oh, always a great thing with a hostel manager. I bring up like the whole world comes to you every day. You meet all kinds of great people. You make great relationships, and very rarely will you pay for accommodations again when you travel. And you'll always have the best tour guide from the country. You know, so it is a great advantage to the job. And Bob and I had jobs where you would sit in a cubicle and do that type of thing of finance and law firm. So. That's another experience that I know you had working in a factory and manufacturing and engineering. You know, once you have that type of experience, it makes you really appreciate the hosteling experience a lot more.
Yeah. And now I enjoy it. Like before, I didn't like the Mondays, but here for me, it doesn't matter if it's Mondays or Sundays or holidays. I like to work. I like to enjoy with the guests here.
Yeah. When it doesn't like work. Yeah. That's when you're onto something.
And I can drink in the meantime with the guests.
That's nice, right?
Yeah, the most important. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was curious about your layout. Now you said you had 58 dorms. Is there a reason why you don't have any private rooms? Like, do you feel there's, hostile travelers that would enjoy the experience but want a private room, or is there a reason why you guys don't have any private rooms?
It's because here in Vegas, they have 1,000 private rooms.
Right.
Okay. And they pay like $100 to stay in a fancy hotel for a night in a private room. And we're going to charge $100 here. And they're not going to pay for that because we are like a small hostel.
Okay.
People who want a private room here in Vegas, they want to stay in a fancy hotel here.
Interesting.
They have pool, they have stuff there to do it, but here we make more money only with share rooms. If you charge it's hair when someone come here and ask for private rooms. Normally they don't ask it. They come walk-ins, just know about the share rooms. So don't worry it for us, because everywhere here sometimes it's cheaper than the private rooms there than the share rooms here.
Mm.
So much hotels here in Vegas.
Right. Yeah. It's a different, every destination is so different. So it's great for you guys kind of focusing in on what you can offer. What about co-living? Have you guys find many like remote workers, digital nomads looking to, have extended stays in Vegas or?
When?
like co-living? I know you said you have 14-day limits. Have you guys ever thought about having like a co-living room for like long-term digital nomads that want to live in Vegas for a couple months? Or what is, I know each destination is
No.
different, but what is your experience with that in Vegas?
Like when is this hiking season here is from May to October. After that, in November, December, January, we have like five guests a week, a day. We don't have so much. So we tried in the past to make exception. Okay, stay here 21 days or 30 days, but we got issues. Always when we try to make exceptions, we got issues.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's a
So
tricky game to play.
we decide, like in the beginning, they are nice, they are friendly, they help us. But after a few days, they get crazy. They start to bring people here. They are not allowed to bring people here. They think they are at home, so they start to make a mess on the bed.
Yeah.
Here we don't have 24 hours of reception, so they think they can come here 24 hours.
Yeah, better just
So
focus on the hostel guests.
so we decided don't do this anymore. We
Gotcha.
tried it only in COVID. They did that. Like people stayed here for 6 months because they couldn't come back to their country because the airports were closed. So they did this exception for 6 months. But after that, I tried last year, but didn't work out. So I decided, no, never mind. Never again.
Gotcha. What are you guys going into the high season? What are you guys focusing on to try to, be your best? What does the future hold this summer for Sin City? And what are you guys focusing on to sell beds?
Yeah, like now just started the high season last weekend. It was the EDC Festival.
Oh,
It's
that's a big one.
the biggest festival here in Vegas, and like 400,000 people in Vegas.
Wow.
We are sold out here, and you had barbecue on Friday and on Saturday for the guests, 1 p.m. before the festival, or then pre-game, get drunk here and leave to the festival. So we offer hamburgers, vegan hamburgers, hot dogs, snacks, and free alcohol for them. And they made friends here. Oh, you're going to the festival? Yeah, me too, me too. So everyone here were for the festival. So they went to the festival together. So from now we're gonna start to make barbecues every Saturday until October. And they make a good reviews about us because of that. We offer free breakfast and free alcohol and free barbecue on Saturdays and pasta night on Thursdays.
Nice.
Now we're gonna start some renovations here in the hostel. We are just waiting for the city permit to start the construction. We're gonna change the reception. We're gonna change the floor. We're gonna paint the building inside. Now we have this temporary reception here, but in the future it's gonna go back to front of. We're gonna change the windows. We're gonna change the doors there in front of.
What was your
We're gonna
reason for the adjustments? What was the purpose?
because it was a old building there, like everything old, and it to be like the ceramic, it's broken. So also we're going to put vending machines there we never had before. So we're going to put two vending machines, one with soda, another with stuff that normally they ask for, like small shampoos, small soaps. We're going to sell this kind of stuff for travelers. And also here in this area is going to turn in a kitchen, and in another common area, in another kitchen that we have it, we're going to turn in another room. And in this new room, we're going to put 10 beds with plugs, lights, and curtains.
Oh,
Nice.
nice.
Yeah, so we're going to start to do this every room, 1 room a month. So first we're going to
Awesome.
start with a reception, 1 room, another room. So I hope until the end of the year, we are done with everything.
That's
That's
exciting.
exciting. And also
Nice.
here in Vegas, I don't know in your city, but here in Vegas they have a program. The city helped us providing 20,000 $5,000 to improve in front of the hostel, to paint the outside of the building. You can ask for the city to help you with that, and they give you the money. So we are waiting for that. So if they do this for us, we're going to improve our sidewalk or patio. We're going to paint outside. We're going to do more graffiti outside as well. We're going to change the gate. And the city helped this because it's downtown here. So they want to improve the neighbor. So they help us with $25,000. So now we are in the process waiting for this money. So we're going to do many stuff this year here.
That's awesome. It's always a good thing to, you know, research and look for those types of grants and opportunities within your respective cities and states, because there are some cool ones out there that they're happy to give and want you to be a part of, and it could be a great benefit. So that's really cool that you guys are doing that and be able to give it a nice facelift. I was curious. I remember with Jason, in talking with him years ago, he used to say that there were competing hostels that would charge a resort fee just because all the other hotels were charging a resort fee. Is that something you all do over there as hostels?
In the bungalows, they do that, but we don't do it.
Have a resort fee.
Yeah, I don't know why they charge that, because they don't have even a pool there. And we don't do that because we read some bad reviews about that in Hostel World. Some guests complain about that, saying this is illegal, they cannot do that. And Jason and me, we never charge this resort fee. I think it's not fair for the guests.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's great that you guys have stuck to it. Now, you also mentioned that one part of your activities that you give alcohol away for free. And I know that you had mentioned that part of the tensions with Jason was that he was trying to create a bar for, you know, for sale, like where you would sell alcohol. How do you give away the free alcohol? Is that just like complimentary wine or something like that on a nightly basis? Or
We buy one bottle of vodka and one bottle of tequila, and we provide them shots.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because we don't have license to sell alcohol here. It's expensive to sell alcohol here. So don't worry for us, open a bar, because the license here is $10,000 just for the license.
Oh, okay.
And we don't have enough guests for that to make money. So we prefer offer free alcohol, so they make good reviews about that and bring more guests.
Oh, that's
nice. Increase that vibe. I think going back to what you're saying of those hostel travelers, especially in Vegas, everybody wants to get the pregame going and then hit the strip or cruise the casinos. And that's great. You guys understand that and focus on that. I'm sure the guests appreciate it.
Yeah. And always before parties, I send a message in the GOC for everyone. Okay, pregame at 8 p.m. in the common area. Come, get drunk, and leave to party. And many people show up. They make friends here. And the group go to party together. And and also there's a 7-Eleven in the corner here. If they want to drink a beer, they go there. And they are allowed to drink here in the common area.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. For people coming out to Vegas, what do you think is the ultimate Vegas experience? How would you, if we were, Jimmy and I were coming out there for a weekend, where would, what do you think we should see?
Here we are in downtown. We are on the street, the main street, but we are in the end of the street. There's bus running behind here, so it's 15 minutes by bus to go to Caesar's Palace. But also we have Fremont Street here. It's 10-15 minutes walking, and we always bring guests there. They have the biggest LED screen in the world. It's three blocks with a huge screen. And they have concerts there for free, magicians, dancers, and always free. It's downtown. It's beautiful to see during the night because of the light. Also behind us here, three blocks behind us, we have Art Street. It's more for locals, so it's cheaper for them have dinner there, have some drinks there. There's many bars and restaurants in this area and many graffitis. It's beautiful to see it. Also, I bring guests to, I always explained then in the check-in, okay, go in this hotel. Venetian is the best hotel in Vegas. You're going to go inside, second floor. You're going to see a river in the second floor with the gondolas, like the city in Italy. It's a huge hotel. You're going to get lost for 2 hours because a huge hotel. They don't show where is the exit for you. So
that's funny. Yeah, that's cool. Great tip there.
There's no windows or doors. It's hard. Even me, I still get lost sometimes. So after that, I say, okay, in front of Venetian, across the street, and go to Caesar's Palace. Caesar's Palace, you go to the third floor, and there's many stuff to see there, and you're going to spend 2 more hours. After Caesar's Palace, go to Bellagio. You're going to see the fountains in front of Bellagio from 3 p.m. to midnight. And after that, you can go inside Bellagio, and they have a beautiful garden with natural flowers, and it's free to see it. It's really beautiful. So this, they spend 1 day doing this, Fremont and these three hotels.
Nice.
Normally, they spend 3-4 days in Vegas. It's enough to know the main attractions. Also, they can see the sphere. I tell them, like, this is a good spot to see the sphere. And they go there and they take pictures, they enjoy it. Sphere is really, really nice to see it. And like some hotels, I say, okay, this hotel is beautiful only outside, like the Luxor is the pyramid. It's beautiful outside. Inside, don't waste your time. You can go to this hotel, it's better, then go there. If you go to the Las Vegas sign, take a Uber or take a bus here. So we expand every day for the guests. Always they ask it about this kind of information.
No, those are great tips. Awesome. Especially going into the different hotels and the different floors. That's the kind of stuff that you want to get unless you stayed at a hostel. So great job.
And also they ask, oh, it's a shame that you guys don't have a pool. I said, yeah, but you can enjoy all the pools here in Vegas for free. You don't need to be a guest in the hotel. So yeah. I give to them some tips how they can get in for free in that pool.
There you go. Yeah.
That's a great tip there.
How to get into pools. Love it. Now, how about some, in closing, how about some tips you might give the aspiring hostel manager or a new hostel manager about living on site and working at the job as a manager? Like, what advice or tips would you give to an on-site hostel manager?
You have to enjoy. You have to be patient for this business. You have to like it a lot because you're going to be available 24 hours. The biggest problem comes to you and you have to be available to fix it that. And it looks like you are working the whole time, 24 hours. But if you are enjoying, you fix that problem and you still enjoy the hostel. You are at home. It's good that you have your own room, but also it's good that you can share if you want to with other people and talking to them the whole day. And it's good for me that I didn't speak English before come here, and I learned it just talking with the guests.
Yeah.
And most of the time I stay here in the common area. I don't stay in my room the whole day. I like to stay in the common area, making friends every day. This is good for the manager to know the standards. After 1 year, this kind of guy is this we have these issues. Oh, this guy is nice. So it's good to know the standards. There are some countries where you already know what kind of problems you're gonna have it living here. Even when you're off, you are walking around the building and you see some stuffs. Probably if you are not living here, you wouldn't see it.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's some great points just for a person's self-check. You know, I look at hostel managers very much in that way from having the experience myself and still living on site, even in my capacity now. If you find that experience that's going on to be a nuisance or something you're avoiding, or if you're hiding in the room, it's not for you. You know, you should be wanting to engage, enjoying the experience you're creating. And if it doesn't feel like work because you enjoy it so much, then all of those things that would normally annoy you don't have annoyance. So yeah, good feedback there.
And I guess the most important, you need a great team to help you. You cannot manage everything. You cannot do everything. You need to to give some responsibility for other people to help you. And don't worry, don't micromanage them. And they do a good work for you. They save you time. And I have a great team here. They help me a lot. I never had any issue with them. They are very good. And they are friendly, and they talk to the guests, and the guests make good reviews about them as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, well, thank you so much, Diego, for joining us. Just another great episode, and we're super excited to see what you're going to be doing over there at Sin City Hostel under new management and all of those exciting projects that you've got working there. I'll definitely pop in next time I'm in Vegas to see how things are going. And thank you all for joining us for another episode of Hostel Road Trip Podcast. Next week, we got an awesome episode with the founder, Jim Kennett, founder of the North American Hostel Association. Going to hear a recap on how the conference went and what's upcoming next year for next year's conference location and agenda. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. See you soon.
Thanks, everybody.